But you know what happens if you eat too much sweets at Christmas?
I do.
You get diabetes.
Hello, beautiful humans. I'm Tammy Castle.
And I'm Benjamin Mead.
And you're listening to Just a Minute. Just a Minute is an educational podcast where we break down justice topics in 30 to 32-ish minutes or less. Today's topic, diabetes. Interesting. Ho, 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 everyone, and welcome to our holiday special.
Yeah, absolutely. Deck the halls, have a cup of cheer, and sit back and enjoy our third annual Christmas holiday episode.
Wow. Oh. Yes.
So, Tommy, what is your favorite thing about Christmas, and why is it the sweet treats?
Always the sweet treats. Basically, every holiday, that's what I'm excited about, and it's just that people tend to bake more on Christmas. Mm-hmm. Also, you know, I love the Great British Bake Off, and they have Christmas holiday episodes that are specifically about lots of British Christmas sweet treats, and then that gets me in the holiday spirit, and then I want to not really bake. I just want to buy baked
just
goods
eat,
and eat them.
Yeah. Yeah. Are there any British sweet holiday treats that we don't
really have? Like steamed pudding, like the way that they make steamed pudding. That's a really common Christmas thing. They also do a bunch of different, Christmas cakes and stuff that we just don't do that are pretty common.
Yeah.
Makes me want to eat them.
Yeah, it is. I just had lunch, but it is dessert time.
It's dessert time.
But I'm not a real big fan of sweets.
As I know.
Overall.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, I do like to have a little sweet treat like right before bed with a glass of milk, but I'm not a big dessert eater.
Yeah.
But my mom does make either like peanut butter fudge or peanut butter balls homemade, kind of like a homemade Reese cup.
Yes.
And I do like those.
I do like those too. And as you know, I make bourbon balls, but I've stopped making them because people said they couldn't actually taste the peanut butter. Mm-hmm. All they tasted was the bourbon.
Yeah. The last time I ate one of your bourbon balls, I got a DUI.
I've stopped making them.
But you know what happens if you eat too much sweets at Christmas?
I do.
You get diabetes.
Why is this commercial stuck in our head for eternity?
I don't know, but every time I hear diabetes, I always think about Wilford Brimley. Good morning. I'm Wilford Brimley, and I'd like to talk to you about diabetes.
With his walrus mustache.
Yeah, he had a big if you don't know who Wilford Brimley is, what do you think people would like most likely recognize him from?
I don't know, because for younger folks, they know from memes, right? But they didn't actually grow up watching those commercials like we did.
Yeah.
And they didn't grow up watching the Waltons, which was constantly on in my house.
I would say The Thing. Like, he was in the John Carpenter's The Thing.
You think people would remember that?
Well, I mean, that seems like to be the thing that like people today would like most remember or actually still watch today.
Okay.
I don't know. Definitely the oatmeal commercials is what I remember him from. But diabetes became a big meme in the early 2000s.
It did.
And apparently it started with a segment on Family Guy where they were making fun of the diabetes commercials. But anyway. So I'm going to try not to say diabetes too much today, but I've already done it a million times and probably won't be able to help myself.
Yeah, I think that we should also be clear that we are not making fun or poking fun at diabetes. We are actually laughing about the way Brimley always
says
it.
It's because of the way that he said it.
And that's what stuck in my memory. Mm-hmm. So tell us what diabetes is.
Now you're doing it too.
I am.
Okay, so diabetes or diabetes mellitus is a condition that occurs when your glucose or your blood sugar is too high. So remember high school biology, kids?
No, I don't.
I don't either. Me either. But remember that glucose is a sugar that mainly comes from carbs. And so your blood carries glucose to the cells in your body, and your cells use that glucose to make energy, and it's also the main source of fuel for your brain. So you've got glucose, and then insulin is a hormone that's made by your pancreas that helps your body process glucose. So insulin allows glucose to enter your cells, and it helps your body turn glucose into energy. So insulin ultimately lowers your blood sugar level. and diabetes happens when your pancreas doesn't make enough insulin or doesn't make insulin at all, or your body stops responding to insulin. And so without insulin, glucose builds up in your bloodstream.
Aren't there different types of diabetes?
Yes, there's two types. There's type 1 and type 2. And weirdly enough, type 2 diabetes is the most common, with 90 to 95% of people who have diabetes having type 2. And so type 2 is when your body doesn't make enough insulin or your cells don't respond to insulin. So type 2 mainly affects adults, and onset is typically in middle age or older adulthood. And there's a strong genetic component to type 2, so family lineage, family history, and race play a strong role in type 2, but it's also conditioned by environmental and lifestyle factors. So I'll talk more about that later. But type 1 diabetes, on the other hand, is an autoimmune disorder where your immune system attacks insulin-destroying cells in your pancreas. And about 5 to 10% of people with diabetes have type 1, and it's usually diagnosed in childhood. And there is a genetic component to type 1, but it needs environmental triggers like a virus or early diet or something like that.
So if the vast majority of people with diabetes have type 2, mm-hmm. then how widespread is it? How mm-hmm. many people actually have diabetes, at mm-hmm. least in the U.S.?
So across several sources, the numbers, fairly consistent, but several sources, including the Cleveland Clinic and the American Diabetes Association, the ADA, which, by the way, you are unintentionally hilarious. So when I was scrolling the ADA website, I LOL'd multiple times browsing their website unintentionally on their part, but I'll mention those below. But anyway, about 37 to 38 million U.S. residents have diabetes, which is about 11% of the population. And some other important statistics, particularly for later on when we look at socioeconomic disparities in diabetes, are that the prevalence risk of diabetes among American Indians and African Americans is almost two times that of white Americans. Also, if we look across state prevalence rates, according to the CDC, southern states have the highest rate of diabetes. So Tennessee, South Carolina, and Oklahoma have a prevalence rate of above 12%. Remember, 11 is the national average. And Alabama, Mississippi, Louisiana, and Arkansas have prevalence rates above 14%. So certainly some of this is due to socioeconomic disparity, because these are also, on average, some of the poorest states. But I'd say 95% of the reason these states have high diabetes rates is because of sweet tea.
Yes, depending on how far south you go, right? Because mm-hmm. there's some places where I have had sweet tea and I felt like the mm-hmm. enamel was coming off of my teeth mm-hmm. while I was drinking it.
Oh, man. I mean, some people make it. It's like twice as sweet as Kool-Aid. Like,
oh, yeah.
More sugar than Kool-Aid.
That, and even these days, even as someone mm-hmm. who grew up drinking sweet tea, mm-hmm. I always ask for half and half at restaurants now. I can't mm-hmm. even tolerate like the mm-hmm. super sweet tea of my youth. Mm-hmm. But also, we drank so much soda.
Yeah.
Like, it was very prominent in Appalachia, also mm-hmm. in the South. Like, mm-hmm. lots of sugar in our diet.
Yeah, and lots of carbs, you know, bread and biscuits and cornbread yes. and casserole and macaroni and cheese.
Oh, and think about the holidays and all those pies.
Yeah.
And mm-hmm. yeah. Yummy, yummy, with lots of butter.
Oh, yeah, butter, lard, Crisco, all of that good, delicious stuff. And on that note, you know, I mentioned before that genetics and environment or lifestyle factors interact. And a major trigger, particularly for type 2 diabetes, is obesity, and especially poor diet and lack of exercise leading to obesity. And of course, sugary drinks, which we were just talking about,
right.
Sweet tea, sugary yeah. drinks in particular are a risk factor. So drink water when possible, because sugary drinks raise your glucose level and also have a lot of calories. Mm. I mean, I do enjoy a good cold pop with like pizza yeah. or hamburger. So I still drink in my part of Appalachia, we call it pop. Have a good cold pop.
Yeah.
But if I want something to drink, I get water for drink.
I've just replaced like soda with mm-hmm. seltzer, because that's all I drink now. But I do mm-hmm. drink water. I cannot get my mom to yeah. stop drinking Dr. Pepper. Mm-hmm. She's going to drink it until mm-hmm. she dies.
Mm-hmm. Well, at least it's not Mountain Dew.
Yes. I drank a lot of that as a kid, and it led to a lot of like dental visits. Mm,
yeah. You're all jacked up on Mountain Dew. So sugary drinks, obesity, lack of exercise, and also hormonal imbalances like pregnancy and age-related hormone changes can also increase your risk for diabetes.
Yes. So if you have diabetes, what does it look like, and what is it like to live with diabetes?
So the main symptoms of diabetes, according to the ADA, include dry mouth and frequent urination. And by the way, diabetes, the word diabetes is a Greek word that means to siphon or pass through. So the name diabetes actually means frequent urination.
Oh.
And the Google AI said that the mellitus was added because physicians noted that urine tasted extra sweet.
from
people with, I know, I was laughing at this, like just picturing like a bunch of doctors like sitting around sipping like, oh, this tastes unusually sweet, doesn't it? Yes. But apparently I was, you know, reading on in another thing mentioned that that physicians noticed particularly dogs were attracted to urine, you know, from people with diabetes. And so that maybe the dogs were tasting it, not actually the physicians.
Well, that's
but if you
to
need
know.
To self-diagnose, if yes. you're, you know, just do a little taste test and
okay.
see, I guess.
All right. Take a drink, see what happens.
Mm-hmm. But anyway, frequent urination and dry mouth, fatigue, weight loss and blurry vision, numbness, tingling in your hands or feet, and slow healing sores, cuts, and infections are the main symptoms of diabetes.
Which, by the way, other than the weight loss, I have all of these. So do I have diabetes?
Well, I'm not gonna taste and find okay. out, but if you want to do a little self-diagnosis, you can.
Okay.
But so those are the main you know, symptoms of diabetes, and you know, according to the ADA also, diabetes is not catching, as we say, as we say in Appalachia. You can't catch diabetes from your kin. You can't catch it from your ma or your pa or your mamma or your papa. So don't worry about being around your diabetic relatives this holiday season, because the ADA says you can't catch it from them.
That's good to know.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
So
there are also, like, you know, complications, acute complications, and long-term conditions also resulting from diabetes. So acutely, you know, things like ketoacidosis and hypoglycemia exist. Super high blood sugar can cause, like, dehydration and confusion, needs immediate medical treatment. Hypoglycemia is severe low blood sugar. And that can happen if you use insulin or you use too much insulin, and it can lead to like double vision, disorientation, and seizures. And ketoacidosis is when your body doesn't have enough insulin, so it basically starts breaking your fat down instead of blood sugar. And that releases a substance called ketones, which basically turns your blood into acid.
Nice.
Yeah, and that can affect breathing. It can cause vomiting, loss of consciousness, and it's actually life-threatening.
Right.
So keep that in mind for later on. So chronically, on the other hand, diabetes can lead to all kinds of things. According to the ADA, once again, diabetes causes more death than breast cancer and AIDS. Combined, two odd choices there, like breast cancer AIDS, diabetes is greater than that. So, yeah, weird combo, but, you know, please don't ever change ADA website. You're so entertaining unintentionally. But ultimately, chronic high blood sugar can damage all kinds of things, like your blood vessels and your nerves. And cardiovascular disease is the leading cause of death among those with diabetes. The risk of stroke and heart attack are twice as high among people with diabetes as those without diabetes. And it's also the leading cause of chronic kidney disease. And also, nerve damage due to high blood sugar can cause neuropathy, which is like numbness and tingling and pain in your extremities caused by nerve damage. And in extreme cases, it's about less than 1%, but in extreme cases, people have to have their feet or legs amputated because of the nerve damage. So like when you have neuropathy, you don't feel the injuries because of like damage. So you can like knock your leg and not feel it. And then because of the damage to your blood vessels, the wounds won't heal and, you know, can get infected and you might have to have your leg or foot amputated. My grandmother actually had this pretty severely. She never had to have her foot amputated, but she was, you know, a diabetic in, actually funny, it's a Christmas episode because she actually died on Christmas Day in 2015. She lived 10 days after her 100th birthday. made it till Christmas morning, but she had neuropathy really bad. And I remember in the last few years, like, she had some really bad sores on her feet that, you know, like we treated for months and months and months, and they just wouldn't go away.
Yeah.
But, you know, she had diabetes and she would not strictly stick to her diet. She was no. She was bad to sneak snacks. My mom would catch her, like, sneaking in the kitchen sometimes. I remember one time particularly, mom and dad lived with my grandmother for a couple of years before she died. And my parents were babysitting Katie's dog for her. She had a little Yorkie at the time. And so when Katie came to pick up her Yorkie, you know, she was picking up all the stuff and she found Duke, that was the dog's name. She brought him like a pack of the Pufferoni dog treats. And so she got the bag and she was like, Mom, she said, I can't believe you gave Duke this whole bag of Pufferonis. Like, it was full and it's almost gone now. Mom was like, I didn't give him anything, I promise. It was just like, I just gave him like two. And then all of a sudden my grandmother comes walking through the room and she's snacking on a Pufferoni. Oh, yeah. So she thought they were like beef sticks or something.
Oh, yeah.
And so she was sneaking in after meals and ate the whole bag of, Duke's pepperonis.
Well, I mean, she did live to be 100, so yeah. We cannot question her eating habits.
That, I mean, that's exactly what she said, because Katie was like, Mama, like, those are dog treats. And she said, oh, that won't hurt me.
She's like, right.
Yeah. Like, it didn't even faze her.
Yep.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so talk about treatment and prevention.
So certainly, like a lot of things, eating healthy is a way to prevent as well as to manage diabetes. Particularly, eat healthy and eat smaller portions and cut down on those sugary drinks. And that also includes alcohol, you sots. So don't overdo it on eggnog this Christmas season.
Yeah.
But alcohol was a big factor in kind of mediating some of these relationships between socioeconomic status and diabetes.
Yeah.
But we'll come back to that in a bit. So good diet, but also what always goes along with diet?
Exercise.
Yes, exercise. So 30 minutes of moderate activity a day, like a brisk walk, is recommended. And of course, with healthy diet and good exercise, that should ultimately result in losing weight, which is also important to prevent and treat diabetes. And if you have diabetes, treating and managing it, first of all, involves monitoring and logging your blood sugar and also watch your diet. And the ADA says you can still eat carbs and sweets, but portion size is key to keeping your blood sugar in check. And of course, being diabetic also means you have to have insulin. You can take oral medication if you still produce insulin, or if you have to have insulin, there are various ways to take that, including injections, pens, pumps, and inhalers. And a good segue to some of the justice-y stuff is to mention Ozempic, which is not insulin.
No.
Ozempic stimulates the pancreas to produce more insulin. It also slows digestion and decreases appetite, and most recently it's been used as a weight loss drug. So a couple of years back, there was like a major shortage of Ozempic for people who had diabetes because all the Real Housewives were plundering the supply of Ozempic to look glamorous. So that kind of highlights some of the SES disparities in diabetes.
Yeah. So in April of this year, 2025, they finally declared the shortage of Ozempic, Mounjaro, and Wegovy over.
Oh, it's over.
It's
over
after 3 years of back orders. And as I discussed in the Nurses of Seaview episode regarding my family's own use of prescription meds for the treatment of tuberculosis, income, but also access, causes people to ration these drugs. So people with diabetes were reportedly rationing their insulin due to increased demand for what you referenced is actually called, quote, cosmetic weight loss reasons.
Mm-hmm.
So people who need to lose 8, 10 pounds, 20, something like that, who are not obese.
Mm-hmm.
So tell us
or
more.
Or diabetic.
Yes. Or who? Tell us more about how diabetes connects with justice.
Yeah, so I mentioned this before, but poverty and racial inequality are associated with a higher risk of diabetes. According to the National Health Interview Survey, being poor or near poor is associated with a 75 to 100% increase in the prevalence rate of diabetes. In a study published in 2022 in Frontiers in Public Health found that particularly alcohol intake, physical activity, lack of health insurance, and lack of access to health care were the big factors mediating the relationship between poverty and diabetes. So low income, basically more alcohol, less physical activity, lack of insurance or lack of good insurance, and lack of access to good health care are big reasons why people who are poor are more likely to have diabetes. And access to good health care is a big issue, not only for risk of developing diabetes, but also for prevention and treatment as well. And of course, health care in the U.S. is expensive, and a lot of people can't afford it. Diabetic patients with low socioeconomic status have 2 times the mortality rate compared to those with higher SES. So if you're poor and you have diabetes, you're twice as likely to die compared to if you're not poor and have diabetes. And of course, rural areas have 17% higher prevalence rate of diabetes compared to urban areas, and people are significantly less likely to get quality health care in rural areas and poor areas. Like,
right.
Where I grew up, it's more than an hour drive to get to a hospital the size of RMH. I was talking about like Norton Community Hospital, mm-hmm. the hospital that's like 30 minutes away.
Right.
And, you know, Chase was asking like, oh, is that bigger than RMH? And I just like busted out laughing because it's like a quarter
clinic.
Of the size. Yeah. It's not even 2 stories. It's it's a 1-story building.
Right.
So, you know, good healthcare is a long way away. And of course, this also connects to food justice. We had an episode on that, so you can check that out. But, you know, people in poverty lack access to healthy foods, and we talked about how and why that's the case in that episode. And I remember that was a summer episode because that was the first year that I was growing my homemade tomatoes.
Right.
Mm-hmm. But ultra-processed foods, foods high in sugar, foods that are cheap and readily available, to poor people are those associated with, you know, bad diet diabetes. And 20% of diabetes patients report household food insecurity. So food security, having access to healthy foods is vital for preventing diabetes and also treating diabetes.
And we also mentioned food deserts in that episode as well, because if you don't live close to a grocery store where you can get healthy options, you only have the Dollar General or the Family Dollar, and those are all processed foods which contain a ton of sugar.
Yeah, exactly. You don't have access to the foods you need to have a healthy diet, and if you do have access, you can't afford them.
Right.
It's more expensive to eat healthy.
Yes, it is. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Every time I buy a package of blueberries for my oatmeal in the morning, I'm crying because they're so expensive.
Yeah, exactly. And you know, being diabetic overall is expensive.
Yes.
A person with diabetes has 2.5 times higher average medical expenditures compared to those without the disease. In 2022, the total cost of diabetes in the U.S. was $412.9 billion. $306 billion in direct medical costs and $103 billion in indirect. So like that would be things like, you know, lost wages or, you know, costs related to food, diet, special clothing like compression socks or things. I know my grandmother had like diabetic compression socks and stuff. Diabetes counts for 1 out of every 4 healthcare dollars spent in the U.S., yeah, and medical costs for diabetes has increased over 35% in the last decade. And that particularly applies to the price of insulin in the U.S. So without insurance or government health care, insulin packages can range from $500 to $1,300 a month. And then you also have to pay for like your glucose testing kits and, you know, the other things aren't cheap either. You mentioned like rationing medicine earlier. I read a news story about the price of insulin, and it described the case of Alex Smith, and he was a 26-year-old Minnesota man with type 1 diabetes, and because of his age, 26, he got kicked off of his parents' insurance, so he was saving up the $1,300 to buy his insulin, and he'd been rationing his insulin supply for a month, and he was $300 short and 3 days short of his next payday, he was found dead in his apartment because of ketoacidosis.
That is so sad.
Yeah, it's awful. So not only is insulin expensive, but according to the Healthcare Cost Institute, the price of a 30-day supply of insulin has increased 184% between 2012 and 2021. So in 2021, according to a RAND study, American drug companies were charging 10 times more for a vial of insulin compared to the average cost of all other countries combined. Yeah. $98 for a vial of insulin in the U.S. compared to $12 everywhere else. And why is that the case? Basically because the U.S. has no laws regulating big pharma.
Right.
It's basically all corporate greed.
Yep.
Their insulin is a drug that's over 100 years old, so there's no need to kind of like innovate or develop insulin drugs. And of course, the price of insulin in other countries hasn't increased compared to the U.S. So yeah. Here, people need it, they'll pay for it, and drug companies can charge what they want for it.
It's disgusting.
Yeah. I saw some authors saying in some articles like, well, the drug companies, they're making their drugs better and they're more life-saving and they're improved, but that's basically
yes.
BS.
If you look at the cost in another country, you see mm-hmm. how obvious the, mm-hmm. yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's 10 times more expensive
yeah.
in the U.S. compared to everywhere else.
So what are we going to do about it?
Well, I said this in another episode recently, but eat the rich.
Yes.
I mean, our corporate overlords are anything but sugary sweet. So yeah, there would right. be no increase in blood sugar and no diabetes
True.
From that diet. But anyway, since 2022, there have been some legislated efforts to reduce the price of insulin to kind of get it under control. President Biden's Inflation Reduction Act capped insulin costs for those on Medicare. And research shows that this legislation actually led to an increase in insulin fills and refills for seniors. So increased access to insulin
right.
for seniors.
Yeah.
Medicare, which is healthcare for 65 and older, and Medicaid for low income, provide insulin at reduced or free cost. So Medicare, the cap is $35 a month, and Medicaid insulin is free. Mm-hmm. And we've also seen states like California passing laws that cap insurance copays for insulin at $35 a month.
Right.
So there has been some recent move towards lowering the cost. And I almost said actually making it more affordable. But Medicare, $35 a month when the average worldwide is 12, so it's still like three times higher.
Again,
on Medicaid,
it's also yeah. $35 on a Medicaid person's mm-hmm. income, right? Mm-hmm. Like, I mean, again, it's just it's absolutely ridiculous.
Yeah. Way too expensive.
Right.
Anything else you want to say?
No.
All right. Well, then that means it's our minute to spin it, where we give our takeaway from the show today. So, Tommy, in just a minute, what's your spin?
I'm going to choose an optimistic spin here and say that innovations in treatment for all kinds of medical issues, including diabetes, Ozempic being an example, that's progress,
yeah.
right?
Mm-hmm.
So maybe if we just wait it out, you know, it'll be good. But we yeah. also need our governments and private foundations to continue to fund research that leads to scientific breakthroughs and cheaper drugs and treatments for all.
Mm-hmm.
But I also want to highlight the awful stigma associated with being diabetic that is reflected in so many of the worst things people say about the diet and lifestyle choices of the poorest of us.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe this holiday season, if we're going to spend so much time talking about what people are eating, then let's channel that into compassionate action, like working to ensure that our food banks are full.
Mm-hmm.
People need food all year and not just during the holidays. So maybe consider making regular donations.
Yeah.
Ben, what's your spin?
Help put food in someone's mouth.
That's right.
And fight for lower drug prices, too.
Yeah.
Good. I would say, I'll be fine and dandy. Lord, it's just a hard candy Christmas. Too many sweets and no discipline till they bring the price of insulin way down. So just a little hard candy Christmas. And I agree with what you said. No food shaming
right.
to our listeners. We
yeah.
can worry about diet and exercise and losing weight with those New Year's resolutions that we won't even follow through with
yeah.
anyway. So enjoy yourself this holiday season and all those sweets and all those treats. And we wish you all a happy, wonderful, healthy, and just holiday season. Merry Christmas.
Happy holidays and catch you next year.
Yeah.
We are a community-driven podcast sponsored by the Gandhi Center and produced by JMU Libraries. Check out our website, linked in show notes, to see how you can support our educational programming.